I bet it was pretty fancy. In fact, I saw some pictures. It looked pretty fancy. So. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you what, Mark, I'm going to just start from the top here and go ahead and go through my questions. And I was going to ask you first, how many years did you attend Grandview, Missouri schools, and what year did you graduate?
Twelve
Awesome.
Grandview schools, High Grove Elementary, high, and then high school. Graduated in 1975, making an old guy.
So you said you were breaking up a little bit, 1975? Okay, excellent. Do you remember any teachers you had that it left an impression on you? Okay. Excellent.
And I had him 7th, 8th, and 9th grade. And, he used to talk to us like we were guys, just, talk to me about what it might be like if I wanted to pursue a career in music. And nobody had really done that with me.
Right.
And he was also a trumpet player. And, at the time he was kind of, he was considered a little bit outrageous because he had long hair and he wore wild looking clothes. And, he was really, a student favorite.
Excellent. What extra activities did you do in school?
What's that?
What extra activities did you do in school?
Well, I did the, I did, all the band related stuff. I did the stage band, the jazz band, the marching band I did.
Please enter your account code. Please enjoy the music while your party is reached.
Lost you, huh?
Yeah, I think maybe my reception over here got bad, so I just went on ahead and transferred over to a landline.
Oh, okay. That's good. I'm on the cell here now. I'm actually in my car. I took my son to do a placement math test, so.
Okay, cool. Cool. So
Yeah.
we were on the extra activities you were doing in school.
Oh yeah. I did do all the band stuff. Stage band, which was the jazz band, marching band. There were some brass ensembles, and we even went on and competed in state, Warrensburg. There was a lot of that kind of stuff going on. I went out for sports. I went out for football for a couple of years in junior high, and I never did very well with it. I went out for track. I went out for track for 3 years. I held up the back. Somebody's got to do it, Joe.
Absolutely, I hear you, Mark. The everybody's vital, you know?
Somebody's got to come in last in these races,
Yep, absolutely. Tortoise and the hare, you know? So what did you want to be when you were a kid?
That's really funny. I always kind of gravitated towards music, and at one point, I was really into the whole God scene too, and I thought maybe I'd do some type of musical ministry, and I kind of fell away from that once I got into the whole jazz guy thing. We started worshiping other creatures.
Right. Excellent. So
But I always had that, from a very early age, really just loved music. And, every time I heard something on the radio or whatever, I thought, wow, I want to be one of those kind of guys.
cool. So how long have you been playing music, Mark?
Well, really, since my start with the Grandview schools, the chance to try an instrument in the fifth grade. And I picked up the cornet, which is essentially the trumpet. And, you know, I've been playing it ever since.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's really a testament to what could be done at public school at that time. And I think that it still exists in Grandview, too. From what I understand, they have a fantastic jazz program. I've seen their band a couple of times, and they were actually far better than we ever were.
Oh, they're an amazing band. They really are. They do a Jazz Blast Festival in September, and they just blow the crowds away.
Wow.
So how many instruments do you play, Mark?
Well, you got the trumpet, and I do, for the TV show, I doubled on harmonica and on guitar, and I sang. And then also for Conan's tour, I sang one of our opening numbers. And I don't know if anybody went to the show in Kansas City. You know, I ran down through the audience with cordless mics and, you know, ended up playing the trumpet and holding a note for like 4 or 5 minutes.
Right on. Yeah, I tried to get tickets, and that was a hot number to come by.
Yeah, it was tough. I kept on lobbying for us to do more than one night in Kansas City, and, you know, finally we didn't even spend 24 hours in Kansas City. We basically drove through it. We stayed there for the afternoon and did the show, and at least I got to see my family and everybody.
That's cool. Yeah, did you guys get some barbecue?
Yeah, I accidentally arranged for the four tour buses to each have a presidential plate from Gates on it for the drive up to Minneapolis after the show.
Oh, that's good eating right there.
Oh, my God. Barbecue overdose, man.
Man, yeah, especially when you've been away from it for a while. I bet it was heaven sent.
Oh, that was so great.
So how did you get the nickname The Love Man?
Wow. Yeah, that's kind of, you know, that's a hard one to explain sometimes. I was in this band in the early 80s called Little Steven and the Disciples of Soul, and Little Steven is Stevie Van Zandt, who plays Silvio on The Sopranos, but he was, at that time, he was known as Bruce Springsteen's musical director and guitar player, Little Steven, and we did his first solo record, and I was in a hotel room with the headphones on singing along to Marvin Gaye, and he kept on knocking on my door to try to get my attention, and of course I didn't hear him. So that night, the Jersey rock guys loved the nickname. So that night he started calling me the Love Man, and it stuck throughout his tour. And then I was introduced to just about everybody else I met after that. Bruce Springsteen, everybody started calling me the Love Man. I don't even think they knew my real name. and I tried to shake it a couple of times. He said, no, it's just Mark Pender, that's good, you know. And then somebody would say, Love Man. And, you know, it'd all start all over again. But now, you know, I'm completely happy with it. There are a lot worse nicknames.
Oh, absolutely. No, that's a cool story, definitely. Definitely. How long has the Mark Pender Band been around, and how's the new CD DVD going for you?
Well, we've been around for quite a while. You know, I started doing gigs in the New York area probably in the mid-80s, and, you know, to varying degrees of success and failure. I put out the one CD on my own. I sold several thousand copies. I'm working on another one. The problem that I have now is that now that I'm living in California, my core band is still in New York, so I have a very large logistical problem, and the only time I've been able to hook up with these guys is when I've done some gigs. We did the Cherokee Jazz Blues Festival up in Iowa in January, just before I lost my job.
Right.
I was just finding out about it that weekend, the week before that. That was pretty... pretty amazing time.
Sure.
And then a couple of other New York gigs, and that's pretty much all I've had. And I'm going to try to put the band back together out here, and I might have to toy around with personnel for a while. So it's taking me a while to get adjusted to being out here for my own solo projects.
Sure. So who are your favorite musicians to work with?
Wow. Well, you know, the guys in the Conan band, are just, you know, they're like brothers to me. We're like a family. If there's anybody I'd like to be on stage with and feel comfortable with, it's them. And of course, specifically, you know, also La Bamba, the trombone player, we've been playing together for, God, it's almost 30 years. And they said it wouldn't work out. But we've been hanging out doing gigs together with various bands and on sessions and stuff forever. And another guy who, you know, I know he was with me on these tours too, Bruce Springsteen, was just probably one of the most inspirational, creative people to work with.
Wow.
And growing up, I was not a huge fan. But once I met him and saw him and understood the type of music that he did, I just fell in love with that kind of music and that kind of sound and energy. And, you know, drawing from rhythm and blues and drawing from the roots of rock and roll and folk music, there's really nobody that has more pure of a creative flow when he's in the middle of something, and probably nobody with a better work ethic.
Yeah, that's what I hear. And just as a common person, my superintendent went and saw him here about a year ago in Kansas City, and he came over and he looked like he got hit with an iron skillet. He said, "You've never seen anything till you've seen a Springsteen show." And
you know, and everybody says that, and you think, yeah, sure. And then you go see him, and you know, you're how can somebody be that focused on stage? And when, you know, I did two tours with him, the Tunnel of Love tour in the late 80s, and then the Seeger Sessions tour for that record. And, you know, when he's working out stuff, the creative process is just amazing. I always felt like I became a little bit better by being around him.
Excellent.
I can't say that about that many people.
Sure, I bet. How did you land the gig with the Max Weinberg Seven initially with the Conan O'Brien show?
Well, we auditioned as a band, and I actually knew Max through Springsteen's project, and there was another band that myself and Jerry Vivino, the saxophone player, and Jimmy, his brother, the musical director, and now band leader for the band, were doing this Jump Blues project with Max called Killer Joe, and we did a lot of you know, it was kind of pretty much like Kansas City-style music, and we were playing some gigs around New York, and Max secured the audition with the record that we recorded, and we went in and did the audition, and, you know, to my surprise, we got it. It was, you know, I was completely blown away.
Cool.
Because I'd never done that. I'd never been part of that many audition processes. I'd usually be recommended for something, and you're either doing the gig or you weren't doing the gig, and in this case, you know, there was an audition with something like 15 to 17 different bands that made the cut, and you know, and then we got it. You know, I mean, that's pretty amazing.
Absolutely. What's the best thing about working with Conan?
The best thing of working with Conan is his fierce sense of loyalty and his love of music. You know, we're looking at now, we've been part of three separate projects with him, Late Night, The Tonight Show, and The Tour, and he's always treated us with so much respect and kindness. And he's another person who just continually works at his craft, and his, you know, his work ethic is just amazing. And in this last tour, he did a lot more musical numbers than we had ever done before with him. And to see how hard he worked at it and how much he progressed as a musician over time, it was just, you know, always helps in the industry, you know, especially in TV, if your boss loves music.
Absolutely. So you guys all pretty amped up for the new TBS gig?
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm just completely excited. And you know, it's, you know, now is kind of a tough period because, you know, I've come off this extreme high from the tour, and, you know, now I'm home back in the L.A. area, and, you know, I don't have so many gigs lined up until we start up again. So I am going to New York this weekend. I'm doing a gig, and I have a couple of other things, but for the most part, I don't have anything steady until we start our rehearsals. You know, this is a little bit of a difficult period, but I'm really excited about getting back on the air and getting back with all the guys.
Now, since you're going from network TV to a cable station, is there a sense of relief of kind of a creative license that you're going to have? And just overall, is there a relief going on right now?
You know, I have no idea because I'm, you know, they don't have us in for any of the writers' meetings. So I would imagine that, you know, Conan just seems so pleased with the whole TBS development. And I think that there's got to be a lot of reasons for that. You know, maybe that's one of them. Maybe the fact that he's really, really wanted there too is something else. You know, it seems like TBS really wanted him, and that's got to feel good.
Absolutely. I'm going to switch to music again. Who are your favorite jazz musicians?
My favorite jazz musicians, you know, coming from the Kansas City area, I'd have to say Count Basie. I must have seen like a dozen times growing up in Kansas City. I love Dizzy Gillespie. I love Miles. I love Maynard Ferguson. Probably started playing the trumpet because of Herb Alpert.
Yeah.
You know, when they gave us a choice of horns, you know, they were playing a lot of him on the radio at that time.
Sure.
It's just kind of endless. Jimi Hendrix is just a huge fan of Jimi Hendrix.
Wow. Cool.
There was so much music, you know, that generation too. We just had so much great music around, and what a great time. And then all the rhythm and blues and funk, and what a great time for live music.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I'm going to come back down to the Grand View level here, and just when you come into town, what's a typical visit like? Do you do any appearances? What's kind of a visit like to Grand View for Mark Pender?
Well, you know, you got to get out to Byers Road where my mom lives. So, you know, I got to make that trek, you know. So I'm flying in, so I'll rent the car and head straight to Grandview. And now there's a new way, so I can head straight down 71, which was always, you always used to have to do that whole 435 loop around to get down to Grandview.
Yeah, God bless 71.
Yeah. So that seems to go faster.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, I get and see the family, and then they're always a little bit surprised when one of the first things I want to do within the first couple of hours is to go to either Smokestack or Gates.
Nice.
So I usually try to make that happen within the first few hours.
Excellent.
Difficult to avoid.
Yeah, sure. I did read in an Advocate article that you love TJ's, too.
Oh, yeah, well, you got to go to TJ's. You know, after I'm staying at my mom's for a few days, you know, the jumbo fried pork tenderloin sandwich lunch special, you know, you really don't get much more value for your money than that.
Oh, man, TJ's.
Even for breakfast, a huge plate of biscuits and gravy. They don't make that everywhere, you know.
No, TJ's is a specialty for sure.
Man, that place is rocking.
Yeah, it is rocking. The only downside as a non-smoker is I come out of there feeling like I was in a bar all night.
Yeah, my wife smokes, so it's okay with her, but I really do hate it too. It's just got to be a matter of time before everywhere puts the law into effect, and especially when you're eating.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you don't want that all over you. You know, one thing I did want to ask you, too, is, you know, Grandview's changed a lot since 75. What are the big kind of culture shocks when you come back here versus the way it used to be?
Well, it is a lot more populated.
Yeah.
So there's quite a few more people that live there than did when I was growing up. A lot of what was at one time just like open fields and wooded areas is now huge housing developments and quite a few rental properties.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And it's really a lot more crowded. It's also quite a bit more diverse than it was when I was growing up.
Sure.
Which is really refreshing in a lot of ways too. I mean, Grandview always had a touch of diversity where some of the communities in the area didn't, even in the 70s. And, I know that scares away some people, you know, but, you know, I know that my experience every time I come out there is just fantastic, you know.
Sure.
I really love the community. I think it's, you know, it's really America at its best.
Sure. What, when's the last time you've been here?
I came through during the tour, and I talked my way on to Conan had taken a private plane that day, and I talked my way on to the plane, and I hooked up with my brother, and we went first of all straight down to the Musicians Foundation at 18th and Highland and jammed till about 4 o'clock in the morning, and then he dropped me off at my mom's house where I slept for a couple of hours, and then I spent I spent the morning into the early afternoon in Grandview.
Excellent. Who do you admire the most? Who's a hero to you?
What's that? Who do I admire the most?
Yeah, who would be a hero for you?
A hero for me?
Yeah.
Wow. You know, there's so many. I had so many mentors growing up and so many people who, you know, gave of themselves so freely to help me out with it, without seeking anything in return.
Mm-hmm.
And those people are truly the heroes for me. And, you know, Alan Epstein was one of them. There were, you know, and when I started playing in Kansas City, Willie Rice was the director of the Inner City Orchestra, my first full-time job. He really took me under his wing and treated me like I was his son almost. Steve Harvey, you know, we became really good friends, a saxophone player. These people I really looked up to. And then, of course, my dad was a very strong individual and everybody loved him. He was so charismatic. I kind of started out fairly shy in Grandview and, somehow I found a way into the entertainment business. So a lot of people I looked up to had big hearts and were willing to go a long ways. Those are really the, you know, it's maybe not the big names that you think of that are the true heroes to me, but it's those people who make a difference and like your everyday quality of life without seeking anything in return for it, you know?
Absolutely. No, I would expect that would be the answer for sure. I tell you what, Mark, that is all I got. And on a personal level, I got to tell you, I'm a massive fan of Conan. I can't wait for November. And I'm crossing my fingers for the Emmy win for you guys.
Oh, boy, I sure hope. Yeah, that would be a good one. That would be, you know, a little bit of justice on our part, wouldn't it?
Oh, man, that would be the best justice I'd seen in TV in years. So... But thank you, sir. You're a class act. I appreciate you getting back with us, and good luck with everything with Conan in the future.
Well, thanks a lot, and I look forward to seeing you out there sometime when I come out. I was hoping to make it out before the summer's over, but it's not looking good.
Well, I'll tell you what, when you're out this way, I'd love to meet you. That'd be great.
Sounds good.
Thank you, Mark. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.